What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Double M Live. We are winding down in the summertime. It is August 31st, where we are recording right now. August 31st, which means it's the last day of August.
Wow. Mike
Nice. What's going on, bro?
You hear the last day of August. It's just another feeling, another thought of your mind that, damn, summer's pretty much done. It's almost there.
It's getting there.
It's definitely getting to that feeling of summer being at its conclusion. And it's a wild feeling. It's a feeling I don't like too much. I'm not a fan of it, but what can you do?
We are in episode 89, Mike Nice, 89. Don, that number was worn by one of my favorite players of all time, Steve Smith. He wore 89 when he was with the Ravens, though. He didn't wear it when he was with the Panthers, but when he was with the Ravens, 89. Steve Smith, surefire Hall of Famer, one of my favorite players ever to wear a football uniform.
Okay, Steve Smith. I definitely remember Steve Smith's great career with the Panthers. Shout out to Steve Smith for sure. Trying to think if there's any other 89s that I can remember. There wasn't any famous 89s in a Patriots uniform that I can remember over the recent years.
No, I can't think of any on top of my head.
But yes, Steve Smith definitely jumps out for sure. But 89, we're 11 episodes away from 100. Episode 100.
On year three.
Year
getting
three.
Getting closer to episode 100. It feels good, man. Feels good to be doing this. That's 89 episodes together. So many different guests, so many different stories. I mean, I remember just the other day we was in the group chat with our boys and something got brought up about the Currys. I'm like, damn, we had an episode about that. And I went back and I was like, damn, we spoke about that in episode 15. That was like
episode
2 years ago.
15.
So it's like, wow, we've been doing it.
It's been
we've
a
been
long
covering
time.
Different stories, man.
It's been a long time, but we still marching along. Episode 89, like Marv said, it's Double M Live on a Tuesday night, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about, Marv. God. A lot to talk about.
I feel like if you were on social media today, there's just a lot that happened. there's so much. I don't. We won't be able to get to everything. We got what's on the playlist. But waking up, you hear Drake's dropping his album, Certified Lover Boy's coming out this week. What else happened? Then we have the whole Bishop Sycamore Academy news, NFL cuts that we'll get into. A graduate assistant is going to be starting for South Carolina as a quarterback for a team. Just before this show started, Ben Simmons wants out. Like, there's so much that's happened today to digest. But that's what Double M is here for, man. We're going to try to break down as much as we can. So let's get right to it since there's so much to talk about, Mike Nice. What's on the playlist?
Yes, sir. We have a long but strong playlist coming up for all of you. But before we even get to that, again, if you're tuned in right now, hit that like. Hit that subscribe button, hit that share button, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tune in. Double M is live right now. That comment section, wherever you're watching right now, that comment section, we need it popping, and we want you in there popping with us, joining the conversation with us, you know, giving us your thoughts, feelings, reactions to whatever we're talking about. Double M, you know, Marv and I do our thing, but this show doesn't get popping without y'all. So, again, join the conversation with us. But without further ado, the playlist. Marv alluded to some of it. The biggest news, especially if you're a Boston sports fan right now, the shocking cut, the shocking release of one Cameron Newton has been cut by the New England Patriots. That a move that I don't think anybody saw coming. You know, it kind of came out of left field for, the majority of people, but it happened. And we're definitely going to dissect and dive into it within this show. What's up, Dirk? I see you tuned in. What's going on? Also on the playlist, a big album dropped recently by a very, I don't want to say controversial, but a very interesting artist. You know, people have their many thoughts and feelings on Kanye West, but, you know, he's still an artist. He's still a musician. And his Donda album recently dropped. And, you know, people have various thoughts and feelings, the length of the album, the kind of music he put on it. You know, people have questions about the features, and a lot of stuff can be said about this album. And I know people have their thoughts and feelings about that. So we're going to talk about the Donda album as well. Marv also mentioned this Bishop Sycamore High School that's not really a high school, that has a high school football team, but it's not high school football, football players on the team. A lot going on with this story. And Marv and I also have an interesting story to go along with the Bishop Sycamore situation that's going on. Also, Ben Simmons, you know, ever since the NBA season ended and the way the Philadelphia 76ers season ended, there's a lot of question marks about Ben Simmons and his future with the Philadelphia 76ers. Well, Ben Simmons made it clear how he wants his future to look, so we might tap into some of that as well. But again, a lot to talk about. Conversation can go many ways. Your thoughts and feelings, you know, something we want to see and read and hear from as well. So, again, join the conversation with us. It's Double M, episode 89. We are live. Let's get right into it, Marv. Cam Newton.
Oh, man. Cam Newton released early this morning. You know, you know today's cut day. And it never really crossed my mind about who would get cut. And I knew it wouldn't be any big names. And, boy, was I wrong. I'm telling you this right now. As soon as I got that notification, the first two words that came out of my mouth was, oh, shit. Whoa. Bill Belichick really did that. And as you start reading into it more, you start really thinking about it. First, it doesn't make sense because, I mean, Mike, we just did a show on this earlier, but Cam had all the first team reps all training camp, all throughout preseason. Obviously there were limited reps, which was very weird as well, but he had the first team reps. And so the writing seemed to be that Cam was going to be the starter. And you know, if he ever messes up or anything like that, Mac Jones was there to take over. It didn't go that way, Mike Nice. They cut Cam Newton. What was your first reaction? And then we can dive into what we think is going to happen, why it happened, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I didn't see the cut coming at all. You know, it didn't make any sense to me. I was sold on the fact that I believe Cam Newton would be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. And what I've said on this podcast, what I've said on other podcasts, what I've said in conversation with other people, Cam Newton will start. But the gap between Cam Newton and Mac Jones, very small gap. The leash that Cam Newton had or has, if he had the opportunity to step on, I got to speak in the past, that's like he's gone. But the leash Cam Newton, I believe he would have had during the regular season would have been a very short leash, because throughout training camp, throughout preseason, Mac Jones showed that he's capable of being a solid quarterback in the NFL. Now, like you said, Marv, Cam's out there during training camp getting all the reps with the first team. Cam's out there, you know, at the start of the preseason game, getting all the, you know, first couple of snaps. And these are all things you're typically seeing from a quarterback who has their starting role solidified. We've seen throughout years when there's been quarterback battles, okay, first team reps are split up like this, you know, during the preseason games, you know, they get an equal amount of snaps or something. No, everything pointed in the direction of Cam Newton being the starter for this team. But at the same time, Mac Jones showed that he's very capable of stepping up if need be. So my confusion, and I see our guy, our Sam in the comments saying it was very odd. My confusion is, it seems as if to me, and this is just my thoughts and feelings, Belichick and the staff knew this move was coming for a while now. And because I felt like they knew this move of Mac Jones is going to be the starter was coming for a while now, why the hell throughout training camp are you not letting Mac Jones rock with the first team in practice, or let him rock you know, during the first couple of series during the preseason games? Why is it all going to camp? You know, the only time I believe Mac Jones got an opportunity to really do any type of first team stuff was in this past week when Cam Newton was out because of violation of COVID protocols. But other than that, it's been Cam Newton first team, Cam Newton first team, Cam Newton getting the first opportunity, Mac Jones coming in after that. But then, bam, all of a sudden you switch gears and you're giving the keys to the ship to Mac Jones. That's what's really odd about the situation. But you got a coach like Bill Belichick who's known to throwing a curveball to most people.
And Bill had said like a week or 2 weeks ago, don't read into who's getting first team reps and second team reps. Obviously, once again, hindsight's 20/20. I didn't pay no mind to it, but clearly they don't give a damn about that. That's about how you go, how you show up and how you perform. You bring up the COVID protocols, Mike, and that's something that we can't ignore. We can't brush past it. Obviously, Cam was released, and that's going to be a topic of conversation that gets brought up. They can't get released due to violating the COVID protocols. Or did that show distrust into the team? And did Belichick get mad and so forth and so on? And obviously, kudos to Mac. Like, Mac had an opportunity to get the first team reps when Cam was gone, and he performed, as you should. As you should, Mac. He performed. He had a hell of a practice that was chronicalized everywhere. How he went like 18 straight throws against the Giants first team defense. But one thing that I always feared, because I'm a Cam supporter, and I really wanted to see Cam have a second chance with this team. One thing I feared during his absence was not the reps that Mac was getting, was everything else. Because Cam is a huge locker room presence. You know, everyone rolls to Cam. Everyone eyes are on Cam. He's a great leader. Now that Cam was out of the locker room, Mac has a chance to show his presence, his locker room presence. He gets a chance to really, you know, control the locker room and get to vibe with the guys. And the guys get to really get a good sense of who Mac Jones is without Cam Newton looming. And by all accounts, Mac did that and above throughout those 5 days that Cam was gone. And that definitely has to be not the main reason or the biggest reason why Cam Newton was gone, but it definitely has to be a factor of the Patriots being really comfortable with saying, okay, this is going to be our starter for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, the switch happens sometime. And, you know, I really wish – you know, these people are going to be hush-hush. Belichick's going to be hush-hush. Maybe Cam might be hush-hush. Maybe he might explain what happened. But I really want to know when the switch happened, because let's put it like this. I really believe Patriots fans have been split with this whole situation from day one. There's a lot of fans out there who believe, hey, get Cam Newton the hell out of here and just give Mac Jones the start. Give him the keys to the ship. He's the guy. He showed enough. Let's not wait for the future. Let's make the future now and let's make it happen. Then there was also a part of New England Patriots fans, the part that I was down with. I understand Mac Jones is the future. I understand this is eventually going to be his team. But at the same time, you have a guy in Cam Newton who people go back and forth about it. Last year, do you want to blame it all on Cam Newton? Do you want to say Cam Newton sucked? Do you want to say his offense and weapons suck? People go back and forth on that. I wanted to see how Cam Newton could have rebounded this year, getting a full offseason with the team, getting healthier, getting better weapons. I wanted to see Cam Newton, how he rebounded and performed in 2021. But I eventually knew it's going to go to Mac Jones. I don't know if it's after week one, week two. I don't know when, but this was going to be Mac Jones' team. Patriots or Belichick maybe just said, screw that. We're not waiting. Why give Cam Newton a chance to maybe show what he can do and maybe rebound, maybe not, when we firmly believe in Mac Jones right now? We don't know what really went into this, but my thoughts are really all over the place, to be honest.
One thing's for sure, and I truly believe this. it was going to be really tough to have Cam Newton on this team if you weren't going to make him the starter. If Belichick really thought that Mac Jones had beat out Cam, and it looked like Mac Jones was the better thrower of the football, he was a better quarterback than Cam. That's what it looked like. And if Belichick thought that Mac was going to give you the best chance to win, Cam couldn't be on this team. It was going to be Cam, we're talking about the number one pick, guy who brought his team to the Super Bowl, a former MVP, who's still going to command a lot of respect in the locker room. It was just going to make things way too divisive in the locker room. Cam wasn't going to stay. And I really think that Bill went to Cam and said, hey, man, we're going to go with Mac. We want you to be the back QB2. And they mutually understood each other, and Cam asked for his release. That's how I'm seeing it until we get any further announcements of what happens with it. But I honestly don't think that if you made Mac the starter week one, you could have Cam on this team. It was going to make things very difficult for both parties. It makes things awkward. It's just, I don't know how you want to vibe out throughout the year with that going on.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Newton probably definitely wouldn't have been comfortable taking the backseat to Mac Jones. You know, no quarterback is comfortable being a QB2, you know, losing out to starter role, especially if you're losing out a starting role to a rookie. I know Cam Newton wouldn't have been comfortable with that. But there's an interesting thing I heard when I got a chance to go on YouTube and see, you know, ESPN or something. I think it was Adam Schefter talking about the Cam Newton getting released and maybe why Patriots went in the direction of Mac Jones. Interesting stat, and I hope I get the number correctly. I don't know if it was 8 or whatever it was, but Adam Schefter said something along the lines of, in the preseason, every time that Mac Jones took the field, he led a scoring drive, whether it was a field goal, whether it was a touchdown, something along those lines. Every time he was on the field, every time they put him in the game, and whatever opportunities he got, he led the Patriots to a scoring drive or to the red zone in some way, shape, or form. And I'm like, I know it's preseason, but damn.
That's pretty damn impressive.
Pretty good. Every time you get possession of the ball, you're leading your team to some kind of scoring opportunity, whether it be a touchdown, a passing touchdown, whether you're putting your team in. And some of that is because the Patriots have some damn good running backs, and some of the running backs are able to make something happen. But either way, every time as Mac Jones has been under center, something has happened where the Patriots have been able to put points on the board during the preseason. I don't know if that was enough to sell Belichick and his staff and McDaniels, but something sold them on this guy. We're not waiting on the ifs and maybes with Cam Newton. We're going to make this happen. Excuse me. We're going to make this happen week one.
Dirk says it only takes one bad game for Jones for the locker room to be like, don't we start Cam? And Mac is going to have bad games this season if Cam was on the team. Yeah, if Cam was on the team, it was going to make things very, very weird. And, of course, Mac is going to have bad games. And now that they got rid of Cam, like, the team knows this is the guy. This is the guy we're riding out with. He's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes. But as Bill Belichick is, he doesn't give a damn about the quarterback. It's not like a quarterback leads the team. He wants to know what the offensive line is doing, the running back. Everyone needs to do their job in order for this team to move further. And that's how he's going to move. I mean, us as media and fans, we always focus on the quarterback, obviously. But Belichick doesn't really roll like that. Quarterback's part of the team. He obviously understands the importance of it, but he's focused on everything else as well, making sure that everybody's on point. And that's just how he moves. Mac, I didn't know that Adam Schefter stat you just said. That's crazy. That's wild. Wild stat of truth. But Mac, from the first preseason game that we were able to see, he looked comfortable. He looked like an NFL quarterback. He looked good out there. So I'm, you know, as sad as I am for Cam, as a Cam supporter, and I'm hoping him, you know, the best, and hoping he gets back on his feet, gets a second chance. I'm also excited for this new regime for the Patriots here, and seeing what Mac Jones can really become with this team. I mean, look who they have. Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, Aguilar, Jacoby Myers, like all of these players, their potential maximizes more with Mac Jones compared to Cam Newton. It's just, that's just a fact. Jonnu Smith's going to be a better player because of Mac Jones instead of Cam Newton. Aguilar is going to be a better player because of Mac Jones instead of Cam Newton, because Mac Jones is a better thrower. Cam brought a different type of offense to your team. You can do, you know, RPOs and the goal line. Cam brings another, he's another running back out there that you gotta account for. You lose that, but I think the Patriots are pretty comfortable with having an in-pocket quarterback because they're used to that for the past 20 years.
Yeah, and as you're making your comments, I see Derek asking a great question. Is this team more likely to make the playoffs with Mac Jones than Cam? That same line you just ended with there, Marv, about how Patriots are used to a pocket quarterback because that's what they've had the last 20 years. I think that that's really key. They brought Cam Newton last year, and they knew, or McDaniels knew, okay, we're going to have to do a couple different things with the offense. It's a different kind of quarterback we're dealing with here. I think Belichick and, you know, McDaniels are fans of, you know, Cam Newton and other quarterbacks like that who can do something with their arm but also do something with their legs. But let's be honest, they're used to a guy dropping back in the pocket and being surgical with the football. Now, I'm not saying Mac Jones is at that level yet where he's dropping back and he's surgical with the football, but like you just said, Marv, Mac Jones is a better thrower than Cam Newton. His accuracy is better than Cam Newton, and that's something that the Patriots can easily fit into their system. They tried a system with Cam Newton last year, and for various reasons, it worked. It didn't work. It was unsuccessful at times. But now you have Mac Jones, who was somewhat similar to a system that they've been running for the last 20 years. And McDaniels and Belichick can say, okay, we tried that. But let's get back to what we're used to doing. And we can stick Mac Jones in pocket and into our system and have him try to be as successful as possible. So to answer kind of Dirk's question, I honestly think their chances of, you know, maybe making the playoffs or having a better win-loss record, I think it slightly increases. Because you have better options at receiver, at tight end, and then you have a better arm in the pocket, and then all of that combined within the Patriots system. If you're a Patriots fan and know what the teams look like over the last 20 years, minus last season, that's a recipe for success. As long as you have a quarterback who can get it done, let's not get it twisted. 2000 and. And what was the year Brady tore his ACL? 2008, 2007?
Yeah, 2008.
2008. Who the hell did they plug into the freaking lineup? Matt Castle. Matt Castle. And not saying Matt Castle and Mac Jones trying to compare the two or whatnot, but they plugged Matt Castle. And just because he was able to step back in the pocket and make some solid throws, they had some success.
I mean, they also have Randy Moss and Wes Welker to throw the football to.
True, that is very true. But, I mean, I just think the system that the Patriots, Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels are used to is better suited for more success with Mac Jones behind center.
Yeah, to answer Dirk's question, I think slightly as well, due to the fact that when we're talking about games where it becomes a shootout, where your defense doesn't have it, Cam wasn't going to win you that game. Due to the fact that his accuracy just wasn't there. Now he was able to win those slugfest games, and we were able to grind them out, and that's a perfect type of game for Cam Newton. I think Mac Jones gives you an ability to be able to put some points on the board if you need to air it out some more. Just due to the fact, like we keep saying, he is a better thrower of the football. And Sam says something important here. Cam never lost his job. Mac just won it. That's very important. Like, I want people understand, like, I'm giving Mac Jones credit here. Like, Mac Jones won the job. It's just shocking that Cam got released. That's the shocking part. Like, damn, we just lost Cam Newton just like that after going through all the offseason, hearing he's the starter. That's what's shocking. But Mac Jones won the job, and deservingly so. Good for Mac to come out there and really and play well.
Yeah. I want to make sure this doesn't get twisted at all, especially from maybe my tone or how I'm coming off. I don't hate Mac Jones at all. I'm very happy with him on the team. As much as I don't really watch college football, and I saw Sam say it in the chat too, is one thing I know about college football. And that is that I know that that Alabama team is pretty damn good, and they got a great coach. And Mac Jones was a quarterback over there at Alabama. And even prior to the Patriots drafting Mac Jones, I saw, hey, Alabama got a quarterback that's going into the draft, and he could possibly get drafted pretty high. Patriots, if you could get him to be the next guy, be the heir apparent to the throne, get him. And what happened? Patriots ended up getting Mac Jones. So with all that being said, I'm very happy that Mac Jones is on this team, and I believe the future is bright with him working with Belichick, McDaniels within the Patriot way, the Patriot system. I think the future is bright. But that doesn't take away from the fact that, yes, I am sad that Cam Newton won't get an opportunity. I'm sad of how it unfolded from hearing everything you heard at the beginning of the offseason, like Marv said, all the way to this guy just lost his job and he's now, you know, unemployed. It doesn't have a job anymore. It's a very mighty fall. Very mighty fall.
From all accounts, he improved. From all accounts, he improved from last year. I mean, he had a whole training camp. You know, he was finally looking like he was comfortable with the team. And now he's in a situation where could he play? Where can he go? I know people want to bring up Washington with Ron Rivera. Rivera already said, hey, well, look at him. He ain't going to be the starter, though. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick's our guy. You got Cowboys coming out saying they might, you know, rumors saying that Cowboys might look at Cam, but we know where that ends up. That's just backing up Dallas. Texans are the team I would say probably has the best shot of giving Cam a try, since nobody can name me five players that play for the Texans right now. Deshaun Watson, we don't know what's going on.
They got Lamar Miller.
You said Lamar Miller? Dude stuck in 2016.
They got David Johnson.
David Johnson, yeah.
Okay, somebody. Yeah, and Dirk said something that's also interesting. I've been thinking about, you know, Mac's going to see a lot of defensive schemes that he's never seen before. And, yeah, you're throwing the boy. He's 22 years old. You're throwing the young man, into the fire.
Yeah,
you're throwing him into the fire.
I mean, that goes with all rookies. I mean, I don't know what – I don't know if that was like a – is that against Mac? Maybe Dirk's just Mac Cam's gone, but that goes for every rookie that plays quarterback. They're going to see a defensive scheme.
I just believe – I just want to see how – because I think we all can maybe assume Mac Jones might have a bad game here or there. He's a rookie player in the NFL. He's a rookie quarterback. I don't think every day will be easy for him. Every week will be easy for him. I'm just interested in seeing if there is a game that Mac plays bad, what's going to be Belichick's response to the media? Because, you know, obviously a lot of comments and questions will come out. Well, he's a rookie quarterback. Well, you had a veteran and you cut Cam, but you're going with this rookie and he's not playing well right now. Like, you know, all those type of questions are going to swirl. I'd love to see how Belichick is going to respond to them. You know how Belichick is with the media, but I'm interested in seeing what his responses are when, if and when those type of questions arise.
Yeah, he's going to have a bad game. He's good. It's inevitable. When you bring a rookie quarterback into the system, they're not going to be perfect. But the Patriots also have a good team. They have a decent team. They have a really decent defense. Not having Gilmore is going to be very interesting for these, because you're facing some quarterbacks in these first 6 weeks. But, you know, they have a decent team, and Belichick's going to protect his quarterback. I mean, he usually does protect his quarterbacks. So we'll see. We'll see this how guy, that goes.
I think this dude, Dirk, is really pissed. Dirk's not happy. Dirk's not happy Mac is gone. I mean, Cam is gone. Dirk's not happy one bit. I tell you one thing now with Mac being the starting quarterback, and this is something, I don't know if we said it, I brought it up on this podcast or our Patriots Roundtable podcast, but the hype that is now going to go into that week 4 matchup against the Buccaneers, I think is going to be wild. Because you have Tom Brady facing his former team, which is already a big story in itself. And then you have Mac Jones, who's basically the heir apparent to the throne that Tom Brady left behind. The storyline, the ESPN, you know, little segments that they're gonna do, it's about to be wild, because that's the big story going into that game.
It's going to be nuts. people are going to want to see Mac and Tom Brady have a handshake. They're going to see how Belichick and Brady interact with each other. It's going to be, but it's going to be feel like a Super Bowl media week.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's going to be. A Super Bowl media week. Whatever other games are going on in week four, unless you're playing fantasy football, yeah, cool. No one's going to give a damn or talk about it from that Monday until Sunday night. No one's going to be talking about no other game other than Mac versus Brady, Belichick versus Brady.
Yeah, that game is going to do some wild television numbers. I'm talking you're going to see broke some records, and because everybody's going to be tuned in. Patriots fans, Buccaneers fans, non-Patriots and Buccaneers fans, like, it's a very big game for the NFL. Very too big game for both franchises. Very big game for Brady, Belichick, Mac Jones. Like, it's a big game all around. So it's I can't wait to see all the specials that are done and the throwbacks and maybe some tributes or whatever is going to come out of that week. But it's the former king versus, you know, the young up and coming. I don't want to call him a king yet, but the new lion going against the old lion.
It's gonna be good. We're gonna see. I'm excited to see what kind of competitive fire Mac Jones has. I mean, when you read everything through training camp and stuff, he has that swag, he has that fire and everything like that. This is gonna be a big moment, a huge moment for him. You're facing Tom Brady, who made Gillette Stadium.
Yeah,
He built that home.
Tom Brady talks some shit to him.
Say like, what?
They make that little handshake in the center. I hope Brady go in his ear and be like, yo, you see all this shit here? I built this. Don't forget this. I may be in another uniform, but this is my house. You might hear it too. Because I don't know. I don't think Brady gets booed. Do you think Brady gets booed?
Nah, let's talk about that. That's a good one. Brady doesn't get booed.
Brady's not getting booed. I don't care what you
Brady's not getting booed.
Brady's not getting booed. I was about to say it doesn't matter what uniform he's in, but I don't know if he went to like the Jets or something. I don't know. But
Brady's not getting booed.
So while Brady's getting cheered and whatnot with every move he makes on that field that day, he's gonna get a huge crowd reaction. He's gonna get a standing ovation.
I don't want a tribute though. I don't want no tribute video.
You don't want a tribute video before the game?
No.
What the hell? Why
not? I don't think Belichick's gonna even want that either.
Why not?
Forget that.
They do it in other sports. Why not? Why not in football?
Nah, this is a gladiator sport. We're not doing no type of tribute. Forget
what about
that.
When they do tributes in basketball?
He's gonna get this different. It's football. It's different. No tribute.
Why
he's gonna get the ultimate tribute once he retires? There's gonna be statues.
There should
probably
be two tributes then.
Nah, forget that. Forget that,
bro. Every banner hanging up in that stadium is thanks to Brady.
Thanks, and he's gonna get cheered for it. No tribute video.
You telling me they shouldn't show anything on the Jumbotron?
F that. No tribute video.
But when Paul Pierce came back to the Garden, they could give him.
That's basketball. That's cute. That's sweet. That's nice.
That's crazy.
That's sweet and nice. We're not doing that in football.
The difference.
It's a gladiator sport, Mike. It's different.
So because they about to knock each other out and whatnot.
Yes.
No tribute video.
No tribute video, bro.
I don't know.
You think Bill Belichick's gonna be like, yeah, let's give Brady 2 minutes.
It's not up to Bill. It's up to Kraft.
After that, the players don't want to give Brady a tribute either. We're trying to win a football game.
So the Celtics wasn't trying to be.
I'm not talking about basketball. I'm talking about football.
It's not up to the players. It's not up to Belichick. It's up to Kraft.
Forget that. I don't want to see a damn tribute video at all.
You know how Kraft feels about Brady?
Go buy him some. Go out for dinner the day before some.
They're not going to do a tribute video in Gillette Stadium.
I didn't say they're not going to.
You said they shouldn't.
I don't, and they shouldn't.
They shouldn't do a video in the stadium in which Tom Brady brought you major success for the past 20 years.
No, I don't want it. You're going to give him a statue and everything later. Why you need to give him?
So no type of acknowledgement, not even show him on the Jumbotron or something?
Yeah, sure. Show him on the Jumbotron. Show him on the Jumbotron. He's going to be playing. Show him.
Not on the sidelines and so he could wave or something? None of that?
No. He's playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And Piss was on the Clippers.
What?
Pierce was on the Clippers, bro.
Nobody give a damn about no Clippers, bro.
Pierce was on the Brooklyn Nets. He came
Nobody
back.
Nobody care about the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, man. All right. Marv,
no tribute video, man.
You say no tribute. Me, I say I wouldn't feel indifferent. If they did it, great. If not, it won't change my thoughts and feelings towards Brady. But it is what it is. Pete's in the comments saying no tribute. You know, Brady's going to get his cheers and whatnot.
He's going to get his love.
Nope, no tribute video from the Patriots to Tom Brady week 4. Any other comments you want to have on this situation, Marv, wrapping this up before we move on?
Once again, shout out to Camban. He was put in a crazy situation. You can hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Shout out to Cam Newton, man. You know, been put in a crazy situation last year, came in July, probably had one of the worst offensive weapons, and was still able to, you know, be the ultimate professional on this team. Always said the right things, led this team as best as he could. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out, and I hope he gets a second chance, man.
I get it now. Sam brought understanding and clarity to me. You and Pete, none of y'all want tribute videos because y'all think the Buccaneers are going to beat our ass. What it is.
I don't care if they beat our ass or not. I don't care if they beat our ass or not. Don't do no type of tribute video.
Oh, man. All right. Well, you know, that week 4 matchup is one we're going to talk about as the season gets closer, as that matchup gets closer. So stay tuned to that conversation, and we'll see what kind of specials and whatnot pop out in sports media and these different sports networks. But let's move on. Let's talk some music. Let's talk an album that recently dropped a couple days ago. When did it drop?
Today's what?
Friday? Today's what? Tuesday. Did it drop on Friday?
It dropped Sunday.
Oh, dropped Sunday. Okay. Sorry.
It dropped Sunday, I believe.
Okay, yeah. So Kanye West's Donda album dropped this past Sunday. And, you know, I know Marv knows more about this, so he can speak on it more than I can. But this is the album, you know, people have been waiting for a long time because he's had a bunch of, you know, listening parties and stream stuff on Apple Music and all types of stuff. So this album has been one fans have been waiting for a long time. But Marv, talk about everything leading up to this album finally being dropped.
Yeah, man, you starts off with you hearing Kanye's living in like the Atlanta stadium, working on his album. He's showing up with a black mask over his face and stuff, so you know he's in his creative process and whatnot. And then eventually he does a album listening party at the stadium, and it's, you know, it's rumored that the album's gonna come out that night. That was like maybe a month ago. So album sounds good, everyone's excited. Album never comes out. 2 weeks later, he does the same thing in Atlanta. Album party, has added more features, different songs he's playing. Everyone gets excited again. Album doesn't come out. And now you just think, you know, now fans, I'm speaking for myself, it's just like, all right, this album doesn't look like it's coming out whatsoever. He does a third show in Chicago at his hometown. And these shows, by the way, if you guys haven't seen it, they're very different. It's not like a concert. It's very Kanye-esque. Just people running around in stadiums wearing black. It looks like a scene of Harry Potter. It's just very weird, very Kanye, but the music sounds good. Then the third show he did in Chicago, probably Thursday night, and then the album finally dropped unexpectedly this Sunday. And yeah, man, it's the most talked about album right now is broken all type of streaming records, of course, because anytime Kanye does anything, you know it's going, whether you love him or you hate him, you know you're going to be tuned in just to see what Kanye is doing. I think the only album I never listened from Kanye or even gave it a chance was the Ye album, or I think it was called Ye. I don't even know what it was called.
Yeezus?
No, not Yeezus. Yeezus, it was the last album before Jesus is King. I think it was called Ye. I could be mistaken, but that's the time Kanye was really on his doing whatever he was doing, MAGA stuff. I didn't even bother even listening to it, and I never heard anyone talk about it, so I don't even think the album was good. But then we all know Kanye's been, he's born again, I guess you can say, a born again Christian, and he's been on this new path. Donda came out, man, and it's 26 songs long.
27, I think.
27 damn songs long. If you know my stance on hip-hop albums should never be more than an hour long. It's always been my stance. Should be 12 to 14 albums. 12 to 14 songs, leave it at that. Kanye doubled that. And they're not like, okay, he's, you know, this new era, everyone's for streaming, so songs are only 2 minutes long. Nah, these are full body tracks. 3 to 5 minutes. Some songs are even 8 minutes long, 26 long tracks. So it's like an hour and 40 minutes. A long listen. And everyone has their thoughts on it. Mike Nice, you know, you heard the album. Let's get your initial thoughts on your thoughts on Donda and what you felt about it, or some standouts.
Yeah, no lie. The first time I listened to some tracks was riding with you. I heard some tracks and I told myself, all right, I need to go back and listen to them, because me personally, whenever album drops, I'm never the type just to say, okay, let me just go, you know, download the whole album so I can have it, you know, in my playlist. I like to go through the album, listen to each song, and if a song stands out to me because I like the lyrics or I like the beat, that's the song I download, and I don't give a damn about the rest of the album, in all honesty. That's just me. And so as of right now, I'm still in the process of trying to go back through the album and listen to songs over again, to see which ones I want to, you know, pull out and keep. But, you know, Kanye has come a long way in the music industry. Anytime I talk about Kanye, I'll always tell people his first three albums to me were amazing. You know, Late Registration, College Dropout, Graduation, those three albums to me are my favorite Kanye West albums. I think after those three was 808s and Heartbreaks. Yep. I think that was the fourth one. And they also, he has a couple here, but this is kind of different from what I was hearing in College Dropout and whatnot. And then after 808s and Heartbreaks, I don't know, after that was The Life of Pablo.
No. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
My Beautiful Dark, because that's, yeah, that's when he had the long-ass music videos and stuff with My Dark and Twisted Fantasy. So, yes, the first three albums are my favorite. 808s and Heartbreaks and My Dark and Twisted Fantasies. Those two that came after, I was like, all right, it's a little different, but I'll pick and choose here and here. After that, I couldn't tell you what necessarily dropped in what order. Life of Pablo, Yeezus, Ye, whatever. I was just, okay, this is not really for me anymore. A different kind of music. Then, you know, he switched up what he was doing. He became born again. Then he dropped Jesus is King. And, you know, that album was songs that I like, that I'm into. So I got back into Kanye from there. And then you get to this Donda album. It's a mixture of, he's clearly not College Dropout Kanye. He's a different Kanye. And throughout the whole album, I think you get a splash of different versions of Kanye that we've got throughout the years. Is he going off like he did in those original albums? No. But he's given a splash of, or the sound, the way he raps, the way he does different things. It's a splash of it, in my opinion, throughout the whole album. So in all 27 songs, I think right now I'm on song maybe like 21 out of the 27. You know, I've picked a few out. I wish I had my my music on me right now to tell you which ones I picked out for sure, but there's definitely been some that I've taken into my own personal mix because Kanye is a talented guy. Say what you want about the man, but he has some talent. And the way he puts and produces music, the talent shows. And I mean, I know some people like the album, some people don't. But I just boil it down to whether you don't like him because he doesn't sound like old Kanye, or you don't like him because, you know, you don't like his new style of music. I don't think you can argue the talent that he has.
Yeah, I think saying Kanye is a talented guy is even giving it like an underservice like that. He's a force when it comes to this music industry, and how he's been able to push hip hop doesn't get talked about more. Like even this Donda album is pushing hip hop to different. He's gotten these rappers who've never rapped on any of these sonically sounded beats, and he's got them to give out really good verses on them. And that just moves away. Like you think about 808s and Heartbreaks, and that's what all music sounds like that now. All music from hip hop sounds like 808 Heartbreaks. But at the time when it came out, everyone's like, yo, yeah, what in the world is this? And I remember in an interview, it's crazy now I'm just reflecting on it. But in an interview, Kanye has said, yo, this is going to be the sound of the future. One day you guys are going to look back at this, because he was getting a lot of backlash. And one day he said, one day you guys are going to look back at this and be like, oh, this is where it came from. Like Kanye's always pushing the limit and he's going to get pushback, but you see it transforms that way. Like 808 Heartbreak was very weird at his time, but I enjoyed it. But now when I listen to music, I'm like, oh man, all this sounds like 808s and Heartbreaks right now. He even mentioned that in one of the songs that he mentioned, but I enjoyed the album. I think when I was listening to it live on the stadium, I enjoyed it more. Like the music, it's weird to describe, but the music's definitely meant for a stadium. It's stadium music. Like it needs to be loud. There needs to be the ambiance there for you to really get its full experience. When I was listening to it in the car on a road trip, I enjoyed it, but I didn't have that same feeling like, oh my God, what is happening right now? Maybe also I was off the wine, so it was really hitting me in a different different way. But there's definitely a different experience when you hear it from a stadium level or when you hear it from your car or you got headphones in. But I enjoy it. I think Kanye definitely tapped into something great on this. 26-7 songs, way too long for me. It's not an album that I'm going to be just playing all the time. It's something that if I'm doing something for a long extensive time, if I'm going on another road trip and stuff, I could definitely play it and vibe out to it. There's some beautiful tracks in there. Some standouts to me. Moon is with Kid Cudi and Don Toliver. And Don Toliver's vocals, man, the song is just beautiful. It's just a beautiful, angelic song. I really enjoy that. I like Pure Souls with Roddy Ricch. That's a really good song. Oh, another thing, Kanye's not like, it's a, if you haven't listened to it, it's a heavy featured album. It's like a DJ Khaled-esque album, if you will, with Kanye bars in it, which I think was the right direction to go. What else songs stand out to me? Sam mentions Off the Grid. Yeah, if you into like trap, hip-hop beats and all that, you're gonna really enjoy Off the Grid. Fabio gives out a great verse. Another standout, okay part two with Shinsia. She murders her verse on that. Junior 2, Lil Durk's in a couple of them. He did good. It's a decent album. You gotta filter through it. I don't think the gospel musics in these albums hit like Jesus Is King.
Sure don't.
I don't think it really translated like Jesus Is King did. So like those tracks, the gospel heavy tracks, didn't really move me as much as his other gospel tracks did. And I think those could have been filtered out. I understand what he's doing. Obviously, like we said, Born Again. Oh, damn. Sam almost made me forget. Hurricane. That was one of the songs when I listening to it on the stadium. You got The Weeknd, Lil Baby, Kanye, pure gold. So yeah, those are some standouts right there. I think the gospel music though didn't hit me like Jesus Is King.
I'm looking at my list now, the songs that I pulled out so far. Believe What I Say, Remote Control, No Child Left Behind, Come to Life. You said Moon. I did like Lord, I Need You. I thought that was a solid song. But
no, that's with the Locks and everybody. That's a good song.
I definitely agree with what you said about how the gospel that he tried to put in this album is definitely not the same as Jesus Is King. And then there was another Sunday Service album that dropped that I don't think was under Kanye West's name.
Oh, that's what I meant by Jesus King. Because there's two. There's Jesus Is Born and Jesus Is King. Yeah, so I might be mixing them up.
Yeah. I think everybody does. But the Jesus Is King, Jesus Born. Either way, the gospel in those albums and the ones that he tried to put in Donda, they don't compare. They don't compare at all. But I definitely know what you mean about, you know, it didn't hit you the same way. But those are some of the songs that I pulled. I still have about maybe 7 more to listen to really go through to decide if I like or not. But yeah, long album. That's a long-ass album. Long-ass album. And, you know, it takes time. I remember when it first came out talking with friends about it, like, damn, got to block off a whole afternoon, a whole night to listen to that whole album. I've done about 3-4 car rides now, and I still haven't got through the whole album. So it's tough. Dirk is saying, do you think this album is going to be one of his top 5 projects? Well, 3 is already solidified to me with them first 3 albums he dropped. College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation. I do like gospel music, and I love Kanye West's spin on gospel music. So I don't, Jesus Is Born, Jesus Is King. I'm just clump those two together because it's all Kanye West and Sunday Service Choir, which is great. And a 5th project that I really like from Kanye. Jeez, I don't know. Maybe it has to be Dark Twisted Fantasies, maybe, for me, possibly. I have to go back and see what songs I took from that album, but those might be the 5 for me.
Yeah, I don't think it's top 5. It's weird. I don't even see this. I'm glad you said project. I don't even see this as a album. It's like a moment. It's just a moment of time. Like I don't even know how to describe this thing. But you mentioned the top 3. I have my Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy right there with the first 3 albums. I think that album is pure art. Pure art. I think that's when Kanye really tapped into his real creativity. The first 3 albums, those are hip hop albums. Those are nice hip hop albums. Great. I listen to them all the time. Think my Beautiful Twisted Fantasy is where he really got to dive into sounds and sonically wave, and he really expressed his creativity. And I really enjoy that album a lot. Came out my junior year. Funny story about that. My English teacher made us write like a letter to ourselves in the future, and she said she was gonna send it to us like 5 years later. So I wrote it. I don't remember what I wrote.
Did she send it to you?
She did. She did send it to me, and I read the letter, and I wrote to myself, "The album that you're listening to currently right now is my Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. This album's amazing. You listen to this album every day. I hope you're still listening to it now. Da da da." So I wrote about it in my junior year. So it definitely meant something to me at the time. I really liked that album. And then so that's 4. And I'd probably put The Life of Pablo as 5. And this is just, it's in the area. It's good. It's a good album. You got to like, it's just too many songs for me, man. Way too many songs. Some songs, I don't know. It's a moment. Yeah. I can't even rank this album yet. Not yet, anyways.
I'm still hoping. I see Sam came in the comments with Sunday Service Choir. I need them, or Kanye, them collectively, whatever the group is, I need them to drop something else because they made some beautiful music. They made some beautiful music. You know how they remix some songs and whatnot.
I mean, they're on the album.
They're on the album. I definitely caught, you know, whoever's like the choir director of the Sun
and Seven. I think his name's like Vori or something like that. Vori.
Whoever the choir director of Sun and Seven. I've heard him in a song or two. I don't remember which ones, but I definitely remember hearing him. But I mean, yeah, Donda. I've seen some negative stuff about Donda on Twitter. Like, yo, this is garbage. I couldn't even get through the first song. Like, what is this? You know, people, I guess what, Jail is the first song?
No, the first song is the first song is like a 2 minutes of some woman just saying Donda, 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 Donda.
Maybe I skipped that one too. I don't remember. But yeah, I've heard seen a lot of negative stuff about this album on Twitter. Hey, everybody's different. Everybody's gonna have their different tastes and thoughts and feelings. But I won't say out of all the albums that Kanye dropped, this is his worst one. Like, I can listen to songs from this. I couldn't name you one song off The Life of Pablo or Yeezus or Ye or I don't even know at this point. I couldn't name you songs off those albums. I'll remember a couple songs off the Donda for sure, but that's just me. Everybody's different. But yeah, man. We can continue moving on here. See, we almost get into that hour mark. We got to talk about a funny story here or a funny situation going on in the sports world. What's the name of this damn school again?
Bishop Sycamore.
Bishop Sycamore. So let me get right into the story that Marv and I have about this Bishop Sycamore situation. We're out, you know, enjoying a lovely, you know, smooth, cool Sunday afternoon at some little day party brunch situation. Shout out to our boy Stiz, who's rolling with us.
Listening to Donda
on the ride. We get to our destination after listening to Donda. You know, we in a brunch situation chilling. And on the TV, it's ESPN showing high school football games. And one of the games that they're showing is Bishop Sycamore versus whoever. I don't even know who they're facing. As you're watching this game, and the score just keeps progressively getting worse and worse. It's 20-something zero. It's 30-something zero. It's 40-something zero. It's 50-something zero.
And we're just watching. Hey, like, yo, what's going on here?
This team sucks, and they're getting their ass beat. Pete's saying they played IMG. I don't even know what that stands for, Pete. But they're playing some team.
Team in Florida.
Okay. Some team just beating Bishop Sycamore's ass. It's bad. Bishop Sycamore get the ball, turnover, interception, fumble. It's just bad. It's 50-something to zero. And we're like, yo, this team, we know, talking to them, I'm like, well, this team sucks. This high school team sucks. Just chalk it up as a bad, sucky-ass football team. A day later, 2 days later, you come to find out it's a fake football team. All the players on the team they're not even high school kids. They're like mid-20s and late and early 30 players. The coach of the football team has like warrants out for his arrest. Whole bunch of stuff going on with this football team. And somehow they hoodwinked ESPN or whoever to be on national TV. I don't know how it happened, but this fake high school team hoodwinked ESPN to be on national TV and get their game televised. And with that being done, they got their asses kicked.
Listen,
what in the world?
Listen, kudos. Kudos. If we're going to do a star and sorries, I put them as stars. This is incredible. How in the world do you create a fake program? The whole time you are just balancing fake checks. You find a way to create a schedule to face these teams, and you find a way to be on ESPN. Mind you, granted, you got your ass beat, but you have the confidence, the balls to say, I'm going to get these kids and this fake-ass team to go on national live TV, and we might get away with it. We just might get away with it.
And they did.
And for the most part, They did. I mean, the kids can't. Really, well, I can't even call them kids. Some of them might be my age.
the men can't be upset.
Like, my thing is this, though. If I'm a parent, I'm pretty pissed my 16-year-old was playing up against some grown-ass men. Yeah, they beat their ass. But what if something happened to my kid? Got his leg cracked by a 25-year-old who got nothing to lose.
Not a damn thing. That whole team, Bishop Sycamore, all them kids, they have nothing to lose. Because at their age, if you're good enough, you're probably in the league. Maybe if you're not good enough to be in the NFL, possibly you could go to the CFL, Arena Football League, something. If you care about football that much, you could be somewhere. And you going against kids who ain't even fully completed puberty yet.
It's pretty much a semi-pro team that was able to face a high school team.
And the high school team won.
Oh, beat the ass.
And blew them out. Not just one. Let's make that. This high school team full of 15 through 17, 18-year-olds beat a semi-pro football team.
And the funny thing is, right? So while we were watching it, Mike, obviously there was music being played. So we don't hear the announcers and anything like that. I went back and I listened to the highlights. And one player got hurt during the game. And the announcer, oh, number 54. We don't have his name in the word sheet here, but number 54 just got hurt. And like there was clues that this is a fake ass team. And then during the blowout, one of the announcers go, I mean, we were told they have D1 scouted players, but sure not looking like it right now. Like, it was just the ultimate, like Derek said, the ultimate finesse. It's incredible how this, such a blunder. And I've been on ESPN.com all day refreshing the page. I haven't seen one thing about it yet.
ESPN
has not have one article on this situation that they're the ones who aired it.
What do you want them to say, Marv? They're ashamed of themselves.
This, I need a documentary. I need a 30 for 30. I mean, the Complex came out with an interview with some kid who left the program at the age of 19. You know, he thought that this was a legit thing. They moved them out. They were living off of hotels, this and that. Just trying to make it, man.
Yeah. I tell you two things. One, some of that ESPN got fired. Somebody had to lose their job for letting this happen.
But who gets fired?
Whoever spoke to freaking Bishop Sycamore and said, yeah, we'll make this happen.
ESPN didn't create the game. This was already a football game all they did was broadcast it.
Whoever was in charge of broadcasting and what airs on the television lost your job. Yeah, whoever set up the game, that's on the league. Whatever league that is, that's on them. Whoever allowed to be broadcast on ESPN Airways lost their job. Two, where did they come up with this name,
Bishop? That's the funniest part. It's slick. That's the funniest part.
You come up with a name like Bishop Sycamore, now you think, oh, this must be a religious school, a holy school, something.
That's Bishop the best Sycamore? Part. Bishop Sycamore. Not one person watching that in their couch was like, let me see if this is a real team here.
You got a question. Not with the name Bishop in it. You got the name Bishop. You must be, you know, must be good school for the kids. Something to do with some religious stuff. I don't know. But like Derek said again, what a finesse. They had their 15 minutes of fame. I don't know how that works with the coach who got warrants out for his arrest and stuff. I don't know where he is.
Oh no, he's going to jail. You're going to jail.
You're a coach, and you are the sidelines on national TV, but you have warrants out for your arrest. Pete says the address of the school was an actual house.
You don't get it. There's no school.
So wait. What I didn't do as much research. where are all these kids? What are all these kids doing if they're not, when they're not playing football? They're not even kids. What are all these men doing when they're not playing football?
Practicing.
What are they not doing when they're practicing?
They
it was bad. The article I was reading.
Yo,
I was reading.
Sam got me crying.
Said they were sharing helmets.
The article I was reading is they have to start stealing from like Walmart and stuff to get food.
Yo, I'm crying. Sam said the quarterback would come off the field and hand his helmet to the lineman. Oh my goodness. Yo, when they're not playing football at this so-called Bishop Sycamore School, what are they doing?
Just trying to survive, man. Trying to make a living. Trying to make a living, yo, bro.
High school kids is going to math class in English, got to stay after school for practice. What are these people at Bishop Sycamore doing during the day and going into the afternoon? What?
They said that one time the coach tried to bring them to the library, and they was like, yeah, cool. It's a little too late. It's October.
Yo, I got tears in my eyes. This story's crazy. And maybe I should have laughed, because maybe this is one of them we could be making fun of this situation.
Don't say we.
People can be making fun of this situation, but maybe we looking at this. Maybe this is a feel good story. You know, maybe somebody said, you know, these men work so hard. Let's give them something.
Stop it.
Let's give them something to believe in.
Stop it. They got into ESPN. That's enough.
They made it.
They couldn't get 3 points though.
Yo,
something to high five about.
Oh my goodness.
They got their ass beat. And who would have thought when we was watching that Sunday that we'd be talking about it on Double M?
Yeah, they made it, bro. They on ESPN. We hear Double M is talking about them. That I don't know if that coach gets, who's in prison probably by now, getting some TV time in the rec room in jail. But he's sitting in front of that TV. If they show an ESPN or some news and they talk about it, he's smiling ear to ear.
Yeah. Jay says this needs to be a movie. Ankle says they deaf learned math after that match. Yo, it needs to be I need a 30 for 30. I'm sorry, ESPN. I need a 30 for 30 on this.
And they better interview real players and the coach.
Like, and this is insane.
Whoever lives in that house where the address was set up, I need all real interviews.
Yeah, Fox Sports 1. If you really want to stick it to ESPN, you guys make a series on this.
Yo, this dude Sam said they should have played their places with that dude for the Matrix. Yo, this story's crazy. Oh, y'all are killing me in the comments. Oh my goodness! Wow, what a story. Yeah, this needs to be documented, and I need actors to come in. I need the works. I need a good director, good producer, good writer. I need the works.
You're going to see this on Law and Order, reincreated.
I need to see something. Looking
for the coach.
Yeah, I would love to talk to that coach and see where his head was at. Because I'm telling you, it might be laughing, but it might just be a good feel-good story of someone trying to do something nice with some young men in the community.
The man was giving out fake checks and surviving off of it.
To say he was robbing, they was robbing Walmart.
It was Walmart. You laughing? Now you the bad guy. I'll send you the complex story. They were robbing Walmart to eat, bro. The funds started to run out.
Yo, you ever seen that movie Accepted? Where the kids make a fake college?
Yeah, yeah, I did. I think I see that.
That's what it kind of reminds you. Kids make a fake college and set it up and try to run it, and then they just got caught.
This is incredible, man. It's incredible. Who would have thought in 2021 you could see something like this?
They tried it. Someone really tried it. But like I said, they made it. ESPN.
They had a logo, the jersey, the whole nine.
It looked official. It looked official. But
all it took was someone to go.
Someone
Someone said, someone from Ohio said, now wait a minute. I lived here my whole life. I ain't never heard no Bishop Sycamore.
And they're playing a team. Someone said a coach. These guys ain't real. It's not a real team. Oh man, you got this. Wow.
Oh man.
Yo, okay. All right. Wow. It's a good laugh. We'll see what other information and news comes from this Bishop Sycamore story, but that's a good laugh. That, y'all in the comments really just brought me some tears. Y'all have some funny stuff to say. Oh my goodness. Marv, anything else we want to add to this episode here, man? Oh man.
Man, it's good to be here. Double M, episode 89. Real quick, 30 seconds to a minute. Your thoughts on Ben Simmons asking out.
Ever since Joel Embiid gave that interview following their elimination to the Hawks, where he tried to be nice, but took shots at Ben Simmons, the writing was on the wall from there. That whole series was bad for Ben Simmons. But once Joel Embiid came out and pretty much said, in a lot of words, yeah, Ben Simmons really screwed us up, the writing was on the wall. And I know Doc tried to be like, oh, well, we're going to do what we can. And even the Doc and the team, we're going to do what we can to try to help fix the situation. But I think behind closed doors, they was really pissed. And maybe there was a chance they wanted to give Ben Simmons a chance at coming back and fixing the situation. But Ben Simmons and his people took matters into their own hands and said, look, we want out. We want to start somewhere fresh. So I think it's best for both sides.
Yeah, it's best. But it's kind of like, when you know you're in a relationship and you know your significant other is going to break up with you and you just say it first. Like, oh, I want out first.
I want it. Look,
I'm out. It's like, yeah, sure. You can go out and tell all your friends you broke up with them, but they was planning on leaving your ass anyways.
You can't fire me because I quit.
I quit. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. What it looks like. Sixers don't want you no more, bro.
It's best. You know, just build a team around Embiid and give him proper players around him. They tried it 2, 3, 4 years now with Embiid and Simmons, and don't matter. Brett Brown, Doc Rivers, hasn't worked, didn't work, couldn't work. Breakup is what's best.
Ankle says he hopes he goes to the Mavs, and he thinks he's going to have a good year. He's calling it now. Look, Ben's an okay player. He's a decent player. All-star sometimes. Man can't shoot. If you can't shoot, you can't do nothing in the playoffs. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to go somewhere. It's unfortunate because Sixers might end up getting some trash for him. But I don't know. Sixers, it's a breakup was what's necessary. I don't know if Sixers are going to get what they're asking for, because I think they was asking for like Dame Lillard and a couple first-round picks or some wild stuff.
Should have got rid of him when James Harden was available.
They was asking for some wild stuff. But hey, we'll see what the Sixers can salvage out of that situation. And wherever Ben Simmons goes, forget where Ben Simmons goes. I just hope he's working on his news right, his game right now.
That's the thing I hate about the Ben Simmons thing. Every summer, they're gonna try to show me him on House of Highlights. Banging threes and crossover mid-range jump, that don't mean nothing to me.
Yeah,
doesn't mean a damn thing to me at all.
I don't care about them YMCA videos of players.
Sign tackle,
please. Thank you. Somebody take him. I didn't care. You don't want to make this a 2-hour show.
Yeah,
but I didn't give a damn where Taco went. I just did not want him on the Celtics no more. The dude was a laughing stock. He was a court jester. When fans was in the stadium, I went to a couple of one game, two game. I don't really remember, but I was embarrassed for Taco because the Celtics would be getting their ass beat, and you got fans chanting, "We want Taco!" No, we're losing.
Huh? They wanted Taco, bro. Why you hate Taco?
You care about Taco going to game who's not helping it and we're losing? It's a blowout. We're getting our ass kicked. And all you want to do, fans, All you want to do, fans, is chant, "We want Taco in a blowout." Taco didn't need to be here anymore. He shifted too much attention from what was going on the past couple seasons, and that was a Celtics sucked. He shifted too much attention.
Dude blame Celtics suck because of Taco Fall. That's crazy.
I just wasn't happy with how fans would cheer for this dude in situations where I'd rather them just boo the team instead of chanting, "We want Taco." But either way, it's not our concern anymore here in Celtics Nation. I wish the Cavs the best of luck with the man.
And with that being said, man, another fun episode here with Double M, episode 89.
89, wow.
Gonna name this episode Breaking News, Taco got some yai. This is Mike Nice.
Yes, sir.
DJ Mies. Appreciate everyone in the comments. If you are on right now, make sure you like, subscribe, let a friend know that we do this every Tuesday night. And if they missed it, Wednesdays on all platforms that you listen to your podcast and on YouTube. Appreciate everyone for watching. We'll see you guys again next week. Peace.
Double M, we out.